This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It is the late show. Steve Thompson in tonight. Chris Tubbs alongside. And from time to time on the weekend, typically I'm on Saturdays, and when filling in for Henry, I will talk space flight. I've always been a big fan. When I was a little kid, I remember the night Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon. We were over at my grandma and grandpa's house on that summer night in 1969. Just a little kid, and ever since then I've been a big fan of space flight, human space flight, and continue to follow it to this day. I find it fascinating, the engineering, etc., that goes into it. Just always cutting edge stuff. And Mike Walt covers space flight for space.com, and it's been a while, Mike. I hope you're doing well.
Yep. Yeah, doing good. How are you?
Yeah. How did you get into it? I mentioned, you know, being there and watching on television that night when Neil Armstrong took that first step on the moon. How did you get into it?
Yeah, I don't know. I've just always been interested in space. You know, I took an astronomy course in college, but I kind of fell into it backwards a little bit. I was a biologist for a number of years, and then I decided I wanted to be a science writer. And so I went to grad school for science writing, and when I came out, I applied for a job with like kind of a biology-oriented site, but they asked me if I would be willing to write for space.com because they had a bigger need there. It was a sister site to the other site, which I applied for, which was Live Science, which is also a very good website, by the way. But yeah, and I was like, yeah, I'm interested. And that was 15 years ago, and I've grown to like it more and more as I've learned more and more, and it's just been a really interesting time in space flight and astronomy and space science the past 15 years. Like, so much has happened, as we've talked about in some of our conversations over the years.
Yeah. It's always been endlessly fascinating. I think, you know, the engineering, the political will, the money, and then beyond that, you know, all the people that work so hard and all the people that work so hard to get Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin to the surface of the moon way back in 1969, and all the achievements before that and all the achievements after is just endlessly fascinating to me. The one thing I wanted to open with, and that is something that has to do with the Chinese space program. We don't know a ton about it, but they have an orbiting space station. And they had a problem, and they had a big problem. capsule was damaged in low Earth orbit at their space station. They weren't able to bring astronauts home, and we're kind of familiar how Starliner stranded a couple of astronauts at the International Space Station, and then eventually they were brought home on a SpaceX Dragon capsule. But in this case, you know, China was going it alone, and these three, it was deemed their capsule was not safe. And Mike, kind of take us through where they're at right now, because they've really done a lot, and it's very interesting to watch us from afar.
Yeah, they have ramped up their space capabilities so much. You know, that's one of the big kind of takeaways that I was just talking about, like the last 15 years is China had ambitions to be a major space power, and those ambitions have been realized. They are a major space power now. And one of the kind of pieces of you have evidence that shows that is the fact that they have had a space station in low Earth orbit for a few years now. They're able to service it and send astronauts up to it all on their own. They do occasionally like kind of run into trouble, you know, as we just saw, as you were just mentioning. I mean, spaceflight is hard. One issue that affects everybody in the space environment is space junk. And what apparently happened was like the capsule that was about to take three of their astronauts down from the Tiangong space station in early November, it got hit with a piece of space junk apparently and got a crack on one of its windows. And they did an inspection of it, and they determined it wasn't, they didn't want to risk putting the astronauts on that to go home. So they sent them home on another spacecraft that had brought their replacements up just a week or so prior. But that caused more problems because that left those three newly arrived people on Tiangong without a way to get home if there was an emergency, right? Like if something terrible had happened at Tiangong and it got depressurized or something and they had to get home, they would have had to theoretically go down in that damaged capsule, which, I mean, who knows how that would have worked out. But so they actually, they ramped up their plans to get the next spacecraft in line ready, and they launched that to Tiangong not too long ago, and now it's up there, and now they've got their ride home, this crew that was without a kind of lifeboat for a couple weeks. So yeah, it's like it is one of those things. It did remind us of the Starliner story with the International Space Station, where it had problems on the way up, and NASA ultimately decided to not bring astronauts down on it, and they came down like on a Dragon, as you mentioned. It's just like, it's just another one of those reminders that we get from time to time that the stuff that they're doing is not routine. You know, it's like, it's difficult. Lots of things can go wrong. And when things do go wrong, you've got to be agile and you've got to be able to deal with it.
Yeah. And they were able to do, we understand, a spacewalk and inspect. And the question becomes, are they good? It sounds like they may attempt repairs or at least bring that capsule back and see what happens. Now there wouldn't be, you know, any human beings in it, but it sounds like they plan to deorbit it and see what happens. And that's all part of learning, because, you know, low Earth orbit is one thing, but if there is a plan to go to the moon and set up a base, that's further away and it'll take longer. And then beyond that, to think about exploring the solar system or go to Mars, you're going to be able to need to fix these things on the fly, period, to make that work.
Yeah, and that's part of the frustration with the Chinese space program, too, is we don't get the information that we're used to getting, like NASA, because two of their astronauts did a spacewalk just a couple days ago to do an inspection of that damaged capsule, which is still attached to the space station, to Tiangong. And they took pictures of, you know, of the cracked window and all that, but we didn't see any of those pictures. Now, if like this had been a spacewalk outside the International Space Station, NASA would have live streamed the whole thing. We would have seen what the damage was. They would have shown us the pictures the astronauts took. We don't get any of that from the Chinese space program. So we just kind of have to wonder how bad the damage is and if they're going to try to fix it. We'll just have to hear about that kind of after the fact from Chinese state media, which is how it works. They are going to try to bring it back and see if it works. You know, nobody will be on board, but that makes sense, right? They've got nothing to lose. If it burns up, it burns up. But they like may as well try to like bring it down, and maybe they can do an inspection here on Earth. And if that inspection, if it survives the trip and they're able to do that inspection, that could inform kind of future designs of that space capsule to maybe make it a little tougher against space junk or something, to try to enable farther kind of trips to more distant, more dangerous destinations, maybe.
Mike Wald joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Mike writes for space.com. I think it does speak to an issue, and you touched on it with space junk, as more and more things are launched into low Earth orbit. We have low-level satellites for the Starlink constellation, the internet service, Elon Musk, and they're going up very regularly now on Falcon 9 rockets. And then beyond that, there's a lot of players putting things into low Earth orbit, and then beyond, and there's always a chance they try to track the space junk. But going forward, that is a big deal, and it's not particularly easy to clean this up. And that has to be a consideration going forward, lower Earth orbit and beyond. What do we do with this stuff?
Yeah, I think that's something that people are starting to take seriously now, and they kind of have to, because these numbers that people talk about, I mean, people are probably familiar with the Starlink kind of internet constellation that SpaceX is building. There are already more than 9,000 functional kind of Starlink satellites up there now. But that's just the beginning for Starlink. They're probably, they want to put up like 40,000 or so.
Wow.
There are other mega constellation projects that are already in the works. There's a few in China that are being constructed and might number 13,000 or so. There's one that actually Amazon is currently building, which will have about 3,200. And these are all kind of like LEO broadband constellations, low Earth orbit broadband. And, you know, there are some studies that estimate that in 10 years or so, there could be like several hundred thousand satellites in orbit. And that's really frightening for people who worry about the space junk problem, because you have that many satellites. Even if the operators are responsible, all it takes is like one thing to go wrong with one of them, you know, one malfunction, you get one collision, and all of a sudden you've got a huge debris cloud that can cause more collisions and cause more debris clouds, and you could get this cascading effect of space junk. People hadn't really thought about that, you know, like until recently when these numbers started going up and up and up. And yeah, people are now planning for these giant constellations and trying to think about, well, how do we deal with this? You know, we like need to have a plan to bring satellites down when they're about to die, so they don't just stay up there as giant speeding bullets, like zooming around Earth, waiting to hit something when they're dead. And those conversations have been being had now for the past couple of years. And it's because this problem is a little bit scary for anybody who cares about the space environment.
Yeah, and then any idea if one of those catastrophic incidents, then it would put all sorts of operations in peril. You know, getting to the moon, setting up a base, doing the geosynchronous satellites that, you know, are in a stable orbit far from Earth, a lot of the telecommunication satellites, it might become difficult to accomplish any of those things going forward if we have that lower Earth orbit, you know, catastrophic event where it's just littered with debris and difficult for anything to get through.
Yeah, that's the sort of nightmare scenario. It's called there's a name for it. There was a NASA engineer who kind of came up with this a few decades ago, Kessler. It's called that nightmare scenario is the Kessler syndrome. And that's what everybody is afraid of, where you get one or two collisions and then they cause these debris clouds that cause a cascade. And it's like you're talking about, there is a nightmare scenario. I don't know how likely people think it may be, but there is a possibility that we could have so much debris in orbit that it would be hard for satellites to operate in low Earth orbit without getting destroyed by some of these little pieces of shrapnel, or to get through it, to go to geostationary orbit where lots of communications and spy satellites are, or to get beyond it to go to the moon. That's what people are trying to avoid, is just that kind of nightmare Kessler syndrome situation.
One thing we've seen with private space flight and SpaceX in Blue Origin as well, is private citizens being able to experience low Earth orbit or at least getting into outer space, as it's defined, not necessarily orbit, but but private citizens have been able to do it. And we are coming up rapidly on a disabled person being able to experience space flight.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Yeah, this is going to be a first, actually. It'll be a suborbital flight by Blue Origin. And they just announced that the date today that they're going to launch this mission, they're going to try to on December 18th. It'll be the first mission to send somebody who uses a wheelchair to space. It's a suborbital mission, so it's not like they're going to go up to Earth orbit and zoom around our planet. These flights by Blue Origin last 10 to 12 minutes all up, but they do get past the boundary of space, which is kind of widely recognized to be 100 kilometers, about 62 miles. So you do get astronaut wings if you go up to that altitude and come back down again. And yeah, I mean, it is like, it's a big deal because like historically space has been the province of kind of middle-aged white male fighter pilots, you know, that those were the Apollo guys, and all through much of the space shuttle era, that's kind of how it was. But that's changing now, obviously. And there's a big difference between a NASA astronaut and somebody who goes on a suborbital space tourism flight. But this, I mean, this is a big deal. It is like one more opening of the final frontier to people who don't have all the abilities or who have issues. So I think it's a big deal.
Yeah. And, you know, opening that door and expanding the experience. There's still a lot going on. And in the couple of minutes we have remaining, Mike, I did want to touch on a couple of items. And those are the biggies, including SpaceX and their giant Starship. When can we expect another flight of Starship as they continue to try and figure things out and build this fully reusable system?
Yeah, we haven't gotten an official target date from SpaceX about when they might want to launch Starship again. Their last one was October 13th, I believe. They had an issue. They were in the prepping for the next flight. They actually lost the booster, the first stage booster, during a test. Part of it kind of crumpled, so they had to move to another booster to start prepping that one. So that probably held things up a little bit. We don't know kind of how long, maybe a few weeks or so. The kind of scuttlebutt is that it's probably going to be January. Like they really like to move fast, and just as a company, that's their ethos. And they also, there's a real time pressure with Starship. You know, it's the first lunar lander, the first crewed lunar lander for NASA's Artemis program. So, I mean, NASA, they actually contracted SpaceX to do the moon landing for Artemis 3, which will put NASA astronauts down on the moon for the first time since the Apollo days. And NASA wants to do that in like 2027, 2028. And Starship's got to be ready for that, and it has yet to reach orbit. It has yet to do some of the other critical things that it'll need for a moon mission, like get refueled in space multiple times. So SpaceX needs to demonstrate all of those milestones, and so I'm sure that they want to move fast. So I expect them to fly as quickly as they can and as often as they can coming up. So probably January is what we can expect.
And a quick update on Artemis, the second flight. This would send... humans as astronauts on a mission that would take them further away from the Earth than any other time, even the Apollo moon missions. This would be orbit the moon, but they would be further away from Earth than anyone before.
They wouldn't actually orbit. It's like a fly around mission, so they'll loop around the moon, come back. But in that kind of loop around the moon, they will get farther away than any human ever has from Earth. Farther away than like even the Apollo 13 mission, which had a similar trajectory by accident. You know, they were supposed to be a moon landing mission, but they had an explosion on board and had to jerry rig things famously to come back to Earth safely. That's slated for as early as like February 5th, I believe. I mean, I'm not sure they'll hit that earliest target, but the kind of launch window is February 5th to late April. So that's coming up fast, and that's going to be a really big deal. You know, the first crewed moon mission since Apollo is what we're looking at. And even though they're not going to land on the moon, they're going to fly past it, and they're going to get within a 10,000 miles or so of the surface and then keep on going. It's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, and then when they're coming back, they're going to be re-entering faster than anybody ever has attempted.
Yeah, and that's one of the main pain points for the mission, or one of the main pressure points is, will the heat shield hold up on their Orion spacecraft? That was during the Artemis 1 mission in 2022, which was uncrewed and went to lunar orbit. It came back safely, but they had more kind of charring on the heat shield, more destruction of the heat shield than they had anticipated. So they had to kind of look at that and beef up the heat shield. And that's been one of the reasons why the mission has been kind of delayed a little bit to this coming spring. And so, yeah, that's just, it's just a reminder that, I mean, putting humans in space and going past the moon, coming back on a trajectory like that, they'll be moving really fast. And at those velocities, Earth's atmosphere is going to take a real toll on that spacecraft. So it's definitely going to be dramatic.
Well, always great, Mike. Thanks so much for the time, and hopefully we can visit again soon.
Yep, sure thing. Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, there he is, Mike Wall, space.com. Quick break. We'll come back and word on the street in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.